Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 137 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about my top five tips for when you're really struggling. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about some things coming up for April. I was supposed to be doing this episode next week, but I had a change around an interview. So I'm sending this one out a little earlier and wanted to talk about my April Breaking Free group program. In case you have thought about signing up for my group coaching program, I've kind of redid it. It's now 10 weeks long, and I'm calling it Breaking Free. And I have one that started in March, but I had a few people reach out to me after that wanted to sign up, and it was already full. So I've decided to reopen registration. It's available now on my website if you go under the group coaching tab, and you can sign up for April. So the plan is to start on Monday, April the 4th. Full disclosure, this could be a very small group, but I'm really feeling called to do this for some reason. So I thought I would just put it out there. If I have people sign up, terrific. I'm going to go forward with it. And it's 10 weeks long. There's more information available on my website if you go to unsweetenedsio.com and go under group coaching. But basically, it includes an hour weekly Zoom call, hour and a half weekly group Zoom call. And these are recorded in case you can't make it live. This time in April, the call is going to be at 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm trying to accommodate Australia time zone and the UK and some others. So figure out whatever that is in your time zone, but that will be every Monday starting this Monday, April the 4th through Monday, June the 6th. And what I really love about this timing is it's such a great jump start into summer. I mean, how many times do we want to try to like go on some kind of diet or lose weight before summer, and then we're all panicked because we fall off the wagon and we're, you know, like elbow deep in chocolate and it's the middle of summer and we're feeling miserable in our bodies and it's hot and we're sweaty and we just feel gross and we're so disappointed in ourselves. And I could go on and on because this is how I felt like most summers of my whole life. And then just really feeling uncomfortable, especially when it's hot and in like clothing that's skimpier. You know, you can't really bundle up in the summertime. So I really love that this will end right at the beginning of June. So for anyone, you know, in this hemisphere, that means our summer is starting. And what a great way to get this jump start into summer where you're just going to be feeling so much better after 10 weeks. You're going to feel much more in control of your eating. You're going to have a really deeper understanding of why you're eating the way you're eating or have been, why you're using food to numb yourself or use it to express your emotions or to feel joy or to feel not feel, you know, all the different ways that we use food as sugar addicts. And you'll really have a much deeper understanding of that and have all these tools and support in place where you really can go into summer in such a different way, with such a different relationship with yourself, with your body, with your mind. know, I've said many times, the weight loss now to me, even though that was like my number one motivator before, now on the other side of it, it's just this like amazing side benefit where really it's the mental freedom to me that feels like the biggest benefit, where I'm not thinking about food 24/7 or white knuckling it or wondering what I'm going to eat or not eat. Or, you know, it's just such a different relationship with food than what I had before. And, you know, just really feeling so much more comfortable in your skin too. So again, it took me a while to lose weight, but I just felt so much more comfortable in my skin throughout the process because, you know, I was knowing that big things were happening by eating, taking out the sugar and the flour and eating healthier food. I knew, even though if it wasn't seeing it on the outside yet, that there was many, many, many good things happening on the inside. So it's just such lovely timing, I feel like, for anyone that really wants to have a different summer experience this year and just to really start getting some healthier habits in place for the summer months, like before you're going on vacation, because that's all in our weekly Zoom group. We'll have different topics that we're going over, and that includes things like holidays and travel, managing difficult situation, managing triggers, preparing for withdrawal, and the grieving process included in giving up sugar and flour, beliefs and values around food and how that affects how we eat, how to manage our emotions without food, really diving into self-care, recipe sharing, relapse prevention, and just so much more that really going to dig into the nitty-gritty of it. Because as we've talked about before on the podcast and with other guests as well, really giving up the sugar and flour is just a small piece of this whole journey. The much bigger work is the inner work that comes afterwards. And that's why I think this group coaching program is so important. And if you are one of those people that have been able to give up sugar and flour for maybe a little bit of time, but then always relapse, this, you might really need this group support and the tools from a coach that can help you dig into why you're using sugar and flour and how to help you navigate that and the feelings that are coming up and the work that's there for you. It looks a little bit different for everybody, and we'll all have a little bit of a different toolkit, but these are things that I want to help you find for yourself, really finding your own personal path to freedom. I just find that there's not one way that works for everybody, and we really have to find the way that's going to work for you and that's sustainable for you as an individual. So that to me is really huge. The other thing that I have found really, really helpful in my group coaching programs is the accountability buddies. So everyone will be partnered up with another person for that accountability on a daily basis, whether that's text messages, some people Marco Polo, WhatsApp, or whatever. But it's really having someone side by side that's in your same shoes. I'm also including this time a one-on-one coaching session with me, a 45-minute one-on-one coaching session that will include emotion code and body code, but also just really one-on-one getting into some more personal coaching to your own story. So that's included as well, that everyone that signs up will receive that. And then I have a VIP option that if you want to get more one-on-one sessions, that includes four more of those one-on-one 45-minute sessions that are a combo of coaching, emotion code, body code, to really help you dig in even another layer deeper. So that's available for people that might want even more support. So just really wanted to put that out there one more time, kind of a last call. Again, you can sign up on my website, unsweetensayo.com, under the group coaching page. If you have any questions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can email me at Siobhan at unsweetensayo.com or contact me through my website. would love, love, love to have you as part of this group. And I definitely think it's an investment in your health that is well worthwhile. So please, again, reach out to me if you have any questions. I would love, love, love for you to join this group and have that support and community and accountability, which a lot of times is the missing piece for people to help them be able to stay on the right path and really, really be able to stay free from this addiction cycle. So I also have another kind of exciting thing that I'm working on with a friend of mine, Stanzi Langtree, who is an energetic healer and chiropractor. I met her in Portland when she was still practicing as a chiropractor, and she was doing a really cool type of chiropractor work that then evolved into pure energy work. And now she lives on the Big Island of Hawaii and does purely energy work, and she is just amazing. I've had her on the podcast twice. So you can look back at my past episodes and listen if you'd like to hear more about Stanzi. But she does these amazing in-person retreats. So her next one is called Awaken Your Inner Truth, and it's going to be May 12th to the 15th on the Big Island in Hawaii. And it's right along with the full moon, which I think is going to be incredible to have that kind of special energy of the full moon. Plus, you know, the Big Island is on one of the really powerful energy vortexes. So I think the whole experience is just going to be incredibly powerful. And it's 4 days long, action-packed, with so much that's included, including vegan meals. There's also excursions to sacred places and a private charter boat trip where hopefully we'll get to see some dolphins. She also includes 3 energetic alignments. That's like one-on-one energetic alignments that she does with everybody. And it's amazing. So, so amazing. She also does sound baths, breath work, meditation practices that you then can use later on. She would do yoga, somatic movement, self-love workshop, forgiveness workshop, an energetic blessing for abundance, and a self-discovery workshop, plus more. So that's just kind of what is packed into these 4 days. And it's really a big step into that inner work that I'm talking about, and really kind of digging in deep and getting to know yourself even better. Like she says, find joy, live your truth, and be authentically you. So take you on a journey into self-discovering and healing so that you can live the life you truly want. So if you're experiencing doubt or confusion about your purpose, excess effort that leads to burnout, low energy, procrastination, feeling unfulfilled in your relationships or work, insecurities around speaking your truth, frustration about being stuck, fear of failure to achieve your goals, all of these challenges indicate that you're out of alignment. So if you want to, you know, something's going to need to change if you want to feel better, have vitality, and live with more ease and flow. So the retreat will help you accelerate your progress on your goals and dreams, heal and release limitations blocking your success, give you clarity on your purpose for alignment, help you live with self-worth, happiness, and fulfillment, and be confidently be you and live an authentic life. Elevate your energy to feel inspired and joyful, and develop your intuition and connection to energy. So again, this is going to be a really, really powerful retreat. I am super excited because I will be attending, which I am thrilled about because I've done a lot of Stanzi's online courses and have been able to work with her in person before the pandemic. But now I'm so excited to get to do this retreat in person on the big island of Hawaii, which is going to be amazing in itself. And I'm going to go for a full week and really turn it into a really special healing vacation for myself. So I hope that if this sounds at all like resonates with you, like something you might want to do, please reach out to me. And I will also link Stanzi's website page where you can sign up and learn more about it. Her website is stanzilangtree.com. But I will link that here so that you can see and sign up and learn more information. And you're welcome to reach out to Stanzi as well for more information. So if you do decide to attend, please let me know. And I would love to connect about that. So that's just something else that I'm really, really excited about and a direction that I really want to go. As a lot of you know, I have an event planning background. I still help with a lot of events, and I would love to start doing more retreats that are geared towards healing work, and especially in beautiful locations like this. So I am just thrilled to be helping out. And another really cool thing is that Stanzi is offering for anyone that signs up, they will also receive a 30-minute emotion code session with me before the retreat, just to kind of start the work, you know, that you'll be completing in Hawaii. So really, really excited about that, to be able to offer emotion code, because I really think the type of energy that work that she does and emotion code are just go hand in hand so well together. And again, this is just such an incredibly healing experience for people. So please go to her website and check it out. She has lots of testimonials on there and some videos so you can get a better idea of what to expect. So super, super excited about that. And also my Breaking Free April program. So in May, I will be in Hawaii. So I will be doing that that call, whatever that Monday is in May that I'll be there. I will be doing that from Hawaii, which is really, really cool. And oh yes, I did mention that it's 11 a.m. Pacific time for this April Breaking Free coaching program. So anyway, with all that kind of housekeeping out of the way, thank you for listening. And I wanted to talk today about something that's on my mind right now. And that's like, if you're struggling, basically. So my top 5 tips for when you're struggling. And I've done other episodes on this. So I was looking back, and actually episode 6, my 6th episode, so pretty early on, I did an episode called The Struggle is Real, and talked about some of the struggles that I found, you know, even at that point. You know, maybe I was like 13 months in or something, and what I was kind of struggling with at that point. And then later, episode 50, I have The Coronavirus and the Struggle to Stay Sugar-Free. That beginning of the pandemic was a huge trigger for me, especially when I was in the grocery store and felt like I couldn't find, you know, produce and meat, and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to find foods that I could eat. You know, a lot of the processed foods was there, but not like the healthier foods. So I was really had this like moment of panic. And I actually like picked up a chocolate bar and like sniffed it and was like, nope, I don't do that anymore. I just don't. I mean, thank goodness I have said that over and over again, because it kind of popped into my brain. But at that time, if you listen to that episode, I reached out to Bitten Johnson, who's one of my mentors, and asked her for some help because I realized that I needed some help. So, and she gave me some tips, which I share in that episode 50. So today, though, I was thinking about it some more, because I am going through, again, another period of struggle. You know, and here I am over 4 months now, sugar and flour free, and still finding times that I struggle. It's definitely way less than it was, you know, especially when I was addicted to sugar, I was struggling all the time. But it's just like a good reminder that even when we go and, you know, find our freedom, there are still going to be times that are really challenging and where we're going to struggle, because that's just life. I wish that being sugar and flour free solved all the world's problems, but it doesn't. It does help you be more resilient, I think, and it does help you handle things better, especially if you're doing that inner work and you have a toolkit that you can rely on. I mean, that's going to help you so much through these harder times. But, you know, the interesting thing is for many of us, like, you know, who have spent decades being using sugar and flour to kind of numb ourselves, or when we're stressed as a tool to calm ourselves, that still kind of habit pops up. You know, it's thought, oh man, I thought 4 years later, I've kind of buried this, but no, it's so fascinating to me. And instead of, you know, I'm really looking at this as like curiosity, and really, you know, to be completely honest, which I always try to be as authentic on here as possible, is, you know, I've really been struggling since December with having like chocolate cravings and thinking about chocolate more than I normally have, you know. And I got through December, but now I'm finding it like sneaking up on me here and there. And I'm have a lot of stress going on right now for, you know, multitude of reasons. And I realized that's when I'm feeling stressed and overwhelmed is a huge trigger for me, huge. And so what do you do? You know, like what, when you are feeling a struggle, and just know that is so normal. We're humans, you know, we're gonna have struggles. Even when you've been 20 years sugar and flour free, like you're still gonna have things that come up. And my hope is that each time it gets easier and easier and easier. But of course, there's always going to be stuff that's going to challenge us. So, you know, what do you do when you're struggling and you've realized you're struggling? And how do I know I'm struggling? Is because I am having those thoughts more often about, like, it was just weird. Like the other day, I was like, oh, I could probably eat some chocolate and that would take the edge off. Like, I can't even tell you the last time I thought of having chocolate to take the edge off. I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just say? But, you know, that's exactly what I used to do and how I, you know, and then right away though, I'm like, nope, that wouldn't work. You know, maybe like for a temporary second, then you would just feel miserable and awful. And, you know, then I can like think about it again, but it's just interesting that that thought even comes up from the subconscious, you know, from my sugar dragon or sugar gremlin, whatever you want to call it, it's still there. And I think it kind of, you know, is asleep, but then it opens up an eye when you start feeling stressed and overwhelmed, like, ooh, wakes up a little bit like, ooh, maybe I can get in there now. Senses like our weakness is like, let me just try. So what do you do, whether you, you know, are struggling after a few days or a week or months or years? This is what I find that really works for me. And the reason, part of the reason I'm doing this podcast episode today is to help myself get back on track, you know, like help myself. Is this a part of relapse prevention? Like, okay, alert, as my kids say, alert, alert, alert. I'm struggling. I need help. I need to tighten things up. So number one, first thing, and I think this is the most important thing. I don't know if the other things are in any certain order, but number one for me is tighten up your food plan, whatever that is for you. So like for me right now, I'm noticing that I'm eating more chips, for instance, and that's something that technically I can eat and do eat. I know some people do not eat chips, and something that I haven't had to eat as much recently, but I notice I'm reaching for that more, or wanting to eat when I'm not really hungry, or just having more thoughts about, like that sounds good. Like that would be good right now. And really when I'm not hungry, it's more that I'm feeling uncomfortable or stressed out and I'm looking for a little bit of relief. So that's how I know, you know, something is going on. So it's time to really tighten up my food. So that means cutting out, you know, the chips or the popcorn or snacking. You know, sometimes this shows up for people as you find yourself snacking more. Oh, I just need a little something, you know, and I have found that after dinner, typically I eat dinner and I am good for the night. But, you know, the past few nights, I'm looking to snack on something, even though I'm not hungry. So I really am going to tighten up my food. So that means going to just have, you know, my whole foods, stay away from the processed, you know, chips and that kind of thing, and really pay attention to snacking and making sure. I know a lot of people just do three meals or two meals, no snacking. I do sometimes snack, especially find right before my period, I need a little bit more food. But I really try to make sure that I need it. And this usually for me only takes like 3 to 5 days to get back on track, feeling really good about my eating. And in that first day, it could be a little bit hard in the second day, but then it just gets easier and easier. It's not nearly as hard as it was, you know, when I first gave up sugar and flour and those, you know, how that felt. This is just a little bit of discomfort for a few days, and it's just kind of reminding myself, no, I don't do that anymore. You know, I don't eat when I'm not hungry. So, you know, I'll eat my breakfast, which I, you know, is always for me like eggs and sometimes sweet potatoes with onions and peppers and spinach. And sometimes I have bacon. I usually have avocado. And then, you know, lunch is leftovers from the night before. And then dinner is usually some kind of meat and vegetable. And that's another thing I've noticed. I just don't feel like cooking at all. And so it's like, okay, I went to the grocery store today and got all like my favorite healthy foods so that, and I've just, you know, cooked tonight, even though I didn't feel like it, I cooked and just, you know, thought of it as a way of extra self-care for myself, like make the, you know, make, have this, you know, really good dinner for yourself. So that's what I mean by tighten up your food. You know, I used to meal plan a lot. Now I don't as much because it's more automatic, but this might be a time that you want to meal plan again. Whatever you need to do to tighten up your food, and that might look different for everybody, you know, depending on that food plan that works for you, that you have figured out works for you. So if you find that, you know, you don't normally eat nuts, for instance, but you're eating nuts, like take the nuts back out. For me, it's going to be taking out like the chips and the popcorn that I've been relying on a little bit more often than not. And just even doing that for a few weeks and then adding it back in when it's because it's like a once in a while thing, not because I'm trying to take the edge off or I'm stress eating. It's a very different feeling. There's sometimes I just want a treat with some like, you know, chips and guac, and that's totally fine. That's what makes this sustainable for me. But it's a much different feeling than when I'm like looking, like I said, to take the edge off or zone out or numb out. That's when I know, like, alert, something is going on. So number one is tighten up your food, whatever that looks like for you. I also, you know, try to not eat for at least 12 hours, but typically like 14 hours. So most days, what's typical for me is to be finished eating by 5 or 5:30. And then I don't typically eat until after 7:30 or even 8 the next day. So I try to go a full 14 hours. So that means I'm not snacking basically at night. So that's what I'm going to be really getting back to. And one thing for me that works well at night, because I know a lot of people say that when this is happening, they especially feel like at night they want to eat something. And something that I've shared before that really works for me is having my magic elixir, as I call it, you know, because a lot of people, this is when they have a glass of wine at night too. It's just to relax. So I usually make some kind of like special iced tea, which I hadn't made in a few weeks. So I went and made that today too. Again, prepping, making sure I have the groceries and the food. And now like this, my magical elixir, make sure I have the tea made. That's all that prep is going to help you stay on track and tighten things up. So I made, it's like an echinacea and elderberry herbal tea that I found that looked really good, caffeine free. And so I made that today and have it in the fridge. So after I finish this, because it is evening right now that I'm recording this, I am going to go have my elixir, and I put it in a really like fancy cup and with some ice in it. And I like pretend it's like whiskey on the rocks, which I don't even like whiskey. I mean, I don't know why that comes to mind, but I almost have this like highball glass and I just pretend it's like whiskey on the rocks. And I just sit down and I drink it like very slowly and just be like, oh, that's really helping, taking the edge off, with like almost the intention that it's like magically helping me relax and calm down after a long day. And I just pretend, even though it's just iced tea, that it maybe has like some, you know, booze in it or something. So I think a lot of that is mental, and it's just that routine and habit of having something. And I just sip it really slowly, like you would a whiskey on the rock. So just something to think about that I like to do at night, that really helps me. And once I do that, like 1, 2, 3 nights in a row, I'm usually good. So even if I struggle the first night, I just remind myself, you know, like I don't do that anymore. I just don't, or whatever, you know, your mantra might be when you're thinking, oh, but I really want a snack. Nope, I don't do that anymore. I just don't. I'm having my elixir instead, and that's going to relax me. So again, if you can get through those like first couple days, it will be right back to where you are. Or that's usually, you know, what happens for me. And tonight I'm going to treat myself and have my magic elixir while I watch an episode of season 2 of Bridgerton. So there you go. And that sounds like amazing to me to do tonight. So find something else. Other people that I work with and clients, they just need to keep their hands busy. So it might be that you're like, you might like to knit, so you can knit at night, or do a crossword puzzle, you know, something like that, or even a regular puzzle. Just have your hands busy. A lot of times, actually, because I also, and I hope everyone can agree on this, on how awful folding laundry is. Like, I don't mind doing the laundry. I mean, it's so easy to put laundry in a washing machine and hit the button. I mean, seriously, how spoiled are we that that's how you do laundry? It's so easy. And then you move that to the dryer and hit the button again. I mean, again, so easy, so satisfying. But then when the clothes come out of the dryer and you have to fold them, like right now I'm recording this on my couch with a pile of clothes next to me. And so that's what I'll be doing, because I do not enjoy folding laundry. And I know some people that are like, and then putting it away is even worse, but I don't even mind putting it away because I like everything in its place, da, da, da. I just don't like folding it. So I have this big pile that I'm going to fold after I'm finished with the podcast, and I'm watching Bridgerton, sipping on my elixir, folding my laundry, because again, that's kind of keeping my hands busy. So anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent, but just something else that I like to do at night, in case that is a time that you're kind of being triggered. So tighten up your food is number one. And then number two is tighten up your self-care routine. And this is something that I really find, like right now when I'm struggling, it's almost like first I look at the food and then I'm like, what am I not doing for my self-care routine? And this again is going to look different for everybody. But for me, you know, most mornings I get up at least, you know, an hour early. I try to get up at 6 and I get my kids up at 7. And starting at 6, you know, I set my alarm, but a lot of times I wake up on my own. And I do the daily calm meditation. I love that daily calm. And now they have like a daily trip and another day. Like there's a bunch of daily meditations on there. So I do at least one of those. Sometimes I do two. And then the other thing right after that, and I haven't done this consistently in months, so no wonder I'm off, is my daily tapping. And I use the Tapping Solution app for that. And they have these, I like, they have these micro boosts and insta boosts. So instead of, if you don't have time to do like a full 12 minutes, you can do like 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 7 minutes. And that helps me so much, especially if I do it in conjunction with the meditation. So if I do a meditation and I just do this right away, I you know, my phone is usually on airplane mode on the other side of the room at night because I have to shut my electronics off by 9 if I can. So I can go to bed at 10 and wake up at 6. I pick up my phone and a lot of times I have text messages or emails or whatever. And I don't open Instagram. I don't look at the emails. I don't look at the text message. I don't look at anything. I go right to the Calm app because if I start looking at stuff, and there are some mornings that I start like, ooh, I have this, I should look at this email. And then it's like, I'm done. I am up and running and like, oh my gosh, and I got to do this and I got to do that. And I'm no longer in a place where I can meditate because my brain is too active. So for me, that's why I really like to meditate first thing in the morning because it's before I'm even fully awake and my mind is still relaxed for the most part. So again, I like waking up more calmly in that meditative state rather than, oh my gosh, I gotta do this and this and this, like that frantic energy. So if I add the tapping on top of that, that makes me feel so, so good. And then I always get in the shower because I don't drink coffee or caffeine in the morning. I need a shower to wake me up. And even in the shower, I try to like really take a nice shower and, you know, really like clean my face well or shampoo my hair. Sometimes I put different oils in my hair or whatever, like really try to enjoy my shower. And then the other big self-care of my morning routine when I get out of the shower is to do my daily affirmations, which I've talked about. You know, I use a little bit of Joy, the Young Living essential oil, and put that on over my chest. And I say my daily affirmations, which has now grown to a list that takes me like 10 minutes to read. It's just like a notes page on my phone. And I go through all of them. And some days I will admit I don't have time to do all that. So I'll do an abbreviated version, but I always do at least a little bit. And I usually shut my eyes, breathe, and I have the oils on my fingertips and I inhale and in and out as I'm doing my affirmations. And then if I can start the day like that, I just feel so much better. So that's a really big part of my morning self-care routine. And I'm a big believer in having a morning self-care routine and an evening self-care routine. And so the evenings for me means unplugging, you know, electronics, TV, all that stuff. I have to be finished that by 9 o'clock. And then I go upstairs and I do like wash my face, brush my teeth, and spend a lot of time on that instead of like, oh, I hate brushing my teeth. I hate washing my face. I really try to put like, oh, like some loving energy into, oh, feels really good to brush my teeth. Oh, this lotion feels really good. And a lot of times I take a bath at night with some Epsom salt and oils or a bath bomb. And then I love to read. So I always read before I go to sleep. Sometimes I read in the bathtub. Sometimes I read in the bathtub with my magic elixir. I mean, that's like ultimate bliss. So whatever it is at night that you can do, a lot of times, sometimes I'll even like light a candle and journal. I have a bunch of different like tarot cards that I like to pull. Sometimes I'll pull a card and journal about that. And there's some nights that I do this, you know, from like 8 to 10, like instead of watching TV, I'm like, you know what? I just need a little bit of extra time with myself. So I really have to tighten up that self-care.
And that's a big, big, big step when you're struggling, you know, get the food tightened up and then immediately go to your self-care and look at those morning and night routines that you have and make sure you're doing those things. Because I have realized haven't been doing my tapping as regularly and my nighttime routine hasn't been as consistent. So tighten up those routines again. And just make sure you're taking some time for yourself every day, whatever self-care looks like to you. This is another thing that's so different for everybody and something that we really, really dig into in my group coaching is really letting everyone kind of experience and experiment what self-care is for them. Because I hear a lot of people, well, I don't like massages. And it's like, well, that doesn't have to be the way you take care of yourself. There's so many different ways to do that. And that's something, again, that we really dig into in my group coaching. So tighten up the food, one. Tighten up the self-care, two. And then number three is that daily exercise, you know, or daily movements, you know, whatever you want to call it. Daily movement always makes me chuckle because it makes me think of pooping daily, which is also really important. I don't want to underestimate the importance of a good poop every day. But in this case, I mean movement as in exercise. And that's another thing when I'm traveling, especially when I'm working and doing those really long event days, my exercise routine gets out of whack. And I'm not like on my typical day, I go on a walk outside, rain or shine, because I really need that. I need that time to be connected to nature outside. I need to breathe the fresh air, whether it's raining or sunny, I need that. And I have this great little loop that I do around me with a really good hill. So I get like a good butt burn in and I just feel so much more energized after I do that. So, I can tell like recently, and again, I think this all goes together when I'm struggling, I don't feel like eating as well. I don't feel like doing my self-care. I don't feel like exercising, but as soon as I start tightening up one, the next thing tightens up and then the next thing, and then I'm already feeling so much better. So it's just starting somewhere. So for me, I also do that Every Mother workout that I've talked about before, and I love, love, love that. And then I do the Betty Rocker. I've been doing that, and I will admit right now, I haven't been consistent about Betty Rocker since like mid-January, basically when I started traveling again for work. Because when you work like a 16-hour day, you don't feel like doing the Betty Rocker workout. So a lot of times my exercise kind of goes, and then it's hard to get back into it. So my goal, once I tighten up my food and my self-care, the next thing I'll be working on is tightening up that exercise. And I have been walking, and I did walk today, which was great. And a lot of times if I am watching something at night, tonight I will watch Bridgerton and do my Every Mother workout, which is only 10 minutes long, the core compressions, while I'm watching Bridgerton, and then I'll fold my laundry and drink my elixir. But I'm hoping, it's like my goal is to start back in with Betty Rocker next week and just easing back into that too. Because again, that just makes me feel so much better. And it actually energizes me, you know, when I exercise. Like I just feel like I have so much more energy. So that's number three. Number four is reaching out for support. So you need that community and connection. And this one I feel like can come, you know, it's not necessarily number four. That probably should be number one, really. Tighten up your food and reach out for that support and community. And for me, you know, that was reaching out to Bitten Johnson when I was struggling during coronavirus. And now I just feel so lucky because I have the podcast, I'm reaching out here, but also with my group coaching, you know, I've been sharing, you know, that I'm struggling and just having that place where I can be vulnerable and share and feel that support and not feel judged. There's just that safe place to have is so incredible. And that's why I love doing the group coaching, because it helps me too. It helps keep me accountable. Listening to other women
Especially helps me feel really inspired, you know, as people, I just think everyone that's on this journey is just so brave and amazing. And I love, love, love hearing, you know, these amazing stories. And even when people are struggling, it just helps me know that I'm not alone. So really, really important to reach out, you know, and feel that community. So if you're ever struggling and you don't feel like you have something, someone to reach out to, please email me and reach out to me. I am here for you and I will help. So, that's so, so important. You know, I think a lot of times when addicts struggle, they kind of go into hiding a little bit. So if you notice yourself doing that, that's when you really know you need that connection and support. And then the last one, and I know we're kind of running out of time here, but it's good timing. Number five is just have some self-compassion for yourself. You know, like we can be so critical and hard on ourselves. And I, you know, I've talked about that on some recent episodes and how we really should treat ourselves like we would a friend or a loved one or our kids, but we don't. We like criticize ourselves when we're our own worst critic. And where a lot of us are perfectionists and just really beat ourselves up. And when I see myself doing that, I just pause and I take a deep breath and I just almost imagine that I'm hugging myself. And I sometimes, like, I have different affirmations here too, just like, I am safe, all is well. That helps me so much, just that. Or even, I am loved, I am safe, all is well. And I put my hand a lot of times on my chest as I'm saying these, but I just kind of imagine hugging myself and giving myself some love and self-compassion, because, you know, life is hard and we are all humans and we're gonna have struggles and all of that is totally normal. But what's not gonna happen is like ridiculing yourself and beating yourself up. Like, that's not motivating for anybody. Like, I kind of like laugh at myself when I'm trying to like yell at myself, you know, into like, you know, or belittle myself. And I think that doesn't work when other people do it to me. That's not very motivating. So why am I thinking that it's going to work if I do it to myself, right? So instead, just like I would to a friend, I show myself a lot of understanding and compassion and love and just encouragement of, you got this. You've done this for 4 years. You got this. You know what to do. You are safe. You are loved. You got this, you know? So that's my number five. So just to recap, number one is tighten up the food. Number two is tighten up that self-care. Look at your routines every day. Number three is get in that daily exercise or movement, whatever that is for you. Number four is reaching out for that support and community and connection. And like we said, that really should be up there with number one. And then number five is just having that self-compassion in all of this. So I hope that was helpful for you all today. And again, if you are struggling, know that you are not alone at all, because there's times that I feel like I'm the only one struggling, and that's just not true. So if you are feeling like you need some added support and you don't have a group, please, please, please email me at Siobhan@unsweetenedsio.com. I will be your support. And thank you so much. And again, if the Breaking Free program sounds like something you might want to join, please sign up for that on the website. Or if you think the Full Moon Retreat in Hawaii sounds like something you want to do, look at that too. I will link how to sign up to both of those in the show notes. Have a great month, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, and remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.